Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is the wee early hours of the morning on Sunday, March 6th. That means it is time for Championship Week Video Notebook day number six, or day number, what letter are we up to, Stalika? E, F, G?
This would be F.
F, E, F, F. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Stalika to my side, below him David Dorman, and right below me, still locked in the puppet bunker there. Lights aren't even working, is David Griggs.
Can you let me out? I'm
Do we have
ready
a
to get
dash?
out now.
Do we have a national champion yet?
Yes.
Who?
It was Baylor.
No, wrong. That was last
No,
year.
they're the look it up. They're the defending national champ.
We need a new national champion before we could let you out. We've got a lot to get to, though, especially in our news and notes portion. This was the last major day of non-conference play. We still have some games, non-conference games coming up on Sunday in the American and the Big Ten, but every other conference besides those two that had not yet finished its play did finish up today. We've been tweeting out all kinds of conference brackets that they've been released, so check out that conference tournament tab. Check out the survival board up top. But we're going to start today in the Southland Conference, and
Are we starting there?
we are not going to start in the Southland Conference with the fact that Nicholls State beat New Orleans and clinched the regular season championship there. Notable, but that's we're going to start with a little game that happened that looked completely meaningless going in with Houston Baptist. And who are they playing there against?
McNeese.
McNeese State.
McNeese State.
McNeese State at Houston Baptist. The game was tied in up in the upper 90s when it went to overtime, and then a second overtime. Then it went to a third overtime, and we love quadruples, so started getting a little paying a little bit of attention here. The end of the triple overtime, McNeese State hits a three-pointer while down two to go up one with a half a second left in the game. It's over. The celebration ensues, including the bench player running onto the court to celebrate with his teammates. And Griggs, you know what that means.
It means
A
he was teed up.
it's a technical foul.
Yes.
One for one free throw. Houston Baptist ties the game, and we have a quadruple overtimer.
And that is the player of the day, as far as we're concerned. He's
That was the
heads
player
up
of the
play. I mean, you got to have some mental fortitude to have the awareness to rush onto the court like that and force a quadrupler.
The other player of the day, I guess, the final score ended up being 149-144, Houston Baptist. Darius Lee of Houston Baptist, 52 points in the game. Incredible. This was the game of the day. Forget all the conference tournaments. It was incredible. But let's talk about some of the other notable games that happened outside of the conference tournaments. Let's run through the conferences. I'll run through the list of conferences here. First, Dorman, ACC, couple notable games. Miami comes back from down 10 points late to beat win at Syracuse, keep their hopes alive.
Miami, I think, is safely in as we
Yeah.
speak today. Syracuse had a complete meltdown. They were up 6 points with 2 minutes to go. Syracuse threw, inbounded the ball. They have two Boeheims on the team that shoot about 90% free throw averages, and they throw it into a guy that shoots about 60, and the guy decides to miss two. Miami has all the opportunities, hit some big threes. Miami wins. Syracuse will need an ACC title run to see the tournament this year.
Forget that, Dorman. They're going to need two wins just to avoid finishing 500 or below overall this year.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Stalika, the other game in the ACC, it was Coach K's final home game against arch rival North Carolina. North Carolina, a very bubblish, probably outside the bubble team heading into it. Duke was going to roll in this game, as we expected, correct?
Well, this turned out to be the most expensive game of the day, with seats going as far as $80,000. But by the same token, Duke didn't have as much as an 8-point lead, but Carolina kept chipping away and actually blew the game wide open in the final 2 minutes.
Unbelievable. North Carolina wins at Griggs. Are they now a tournament team in your estimation?
Yes.
I think they are. The one thing about Carolina is that when you look at their resume, I always harped on the fact that there was nothing good on it, and there wasn't. Well, now there is, and there's not really anything bad on it. Not at least excruciating, but to win at Duke is a huge win. I think it puts them in. We'll see what our committee does. We'll see what the real committee does, but I do think they're in. Today was a great day for Coach K. First, the previous game ran over, so they didn't get to it on time, which I thought was hilarious. Not just that it was Coach K's last game, but the fact that they didn't get to Duke and Carolina on time, and then he lost at home. I don't have anything against Coach Krzyzewski personally, but through no fault of his own, his farewell tour has made me wish he was already gone. Like, when it's January 8th and you've been reminded for the 19th time today that it's Coach K's last year, we just need to get this over with.
I did put that North Carolina profile up there on the right. I will sort out real briefly. There is one bad quad four loss in there, but it does look a lot better now. On the left, Dorman, I put up the Indiana profile. They gave Purdue all they could take today on the road, but could not find a way to win the game, and squarely on the bubble now.
Squarely on the bubble. I actually have them just out, one of my last four teams out. They will need to do some damage in Indianapolis next week in the Big Ten tournament if they want to go to the NCAA tournament.
Stalica in the Big East today. Seton Hall picked up a nice road win at Creighton. Both teams were, it was a close game. And Xavier pulled off the major upset by beating Georgetown at home.
Yeah, that was a bit of an upset here. It was nice to finally get at least one crack against Georgetown, whereas everyone else in the Big East had two right here. UConn also held off DePaul at home, so at least the Huskies don't avoid stubbing their toes going into conference tournament play.
Griggs, Big 12 saw a couple upsets. West Virginia knocked off TCU. Oklahoma State knocked off Texas Tech.
Yeah, just kind of a crazy day. Texas, I mean, that's Oklahoma State's curtain call, not eligible for postseason play and not going to be playing, I don't think, in the Big 12 tournament. So big, crazy crowd in there today to see them get a real nice win against Texas Tech. Congrats to Barry Henson's not the head coach, but he should be.
He's an assistant coach there. Kansas-Texas was a great game. Dorman, that went overtime, a Kansas win. Baylor also held off. Looked like they were going to blow Iowa State out of the building. Yeah. Iowa State came storming back, but Baylor did find a way to win that game. And the two teams share the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, Baylor was up big right out of the gate, over 20. And then, like you said, Iowa State comes all the way back. It's tied with about 4 minutes to go, but Baylor did hold them off. They share a tie, a first place with Kansas, who needed overtime at home against Texas. They had hit a shot at the buzzer. It did not count. It came too late. Goes to overtime. Kansas wins by 7. Hit some big shots in overtime, and Texas went ice cold.
I threw one.
Now, let me make one correction to what was said earlier. It was not a Duke, North Carolina that got preempted. It was actually the beginning of a Baylor and Iowa State. So the nation did not get to see the Bears jump out by, I think it was 23 points early on.
Yeah, well, actually, that game was supposed to be on ESPN2. They preempted that to show the beginning of the Duke, Carolina game. It was back and forth to networks. But Oklahoma won at Kansas State. Just mentioned that because Oklahoma might be a team that is not completely out of the picture here. They have the K-State profile now that you were touting last week, Griggs. Oklahoma now has that profile, I think.
I'm starting to warm up to the slight possibility that K-State might not belong to
them. Real quick, in the Pac-12, Oregon, I think, put the nail in its coffin unless they at least make the Pac-12 championship by losing to Washington State tonight. UCLA UCLA took care of you, beat USC in a pretty good game that just went final a little while before we started this. Over in the SEC, LSU with an overtime win. Tennessee beat Arkansas. Kentucky won at Florida. Dorman, any thoughts on those games? And is Florida in a lot of trouble now also with that loss? Even though it was to Kentucky, it was a blown chance.
It was an opportunity they needed to get today. I have them squarely out. They're going to need to make a run in the SEC tournament. And that is not going to be easy because the SEC has some great teams all over that bracket that just came out. And Florida's anything short of the semis, I think it's good night to the Gators.
Yeah, there's their profile there on the right. Congratulations, actually, to Auburn, outright SEC champions today. Wyoming held off Fresno State in overtime. They almost lost that game. Could have been very dangerous for their tournament health. Colorado State, a close win over Boise State, a real nice win for Colorado State. A-10, Dayton knocks off Davidson, giving VCU a chance to get the number one seed in the A-10 tournament, except they go and they lose to St. Louis. So 0-2 for the top two teams in the A-10 today, Stalika.
Wow.
That? Both teams will be, especially VCU, will be interesting on the bubble picture now. They think they got to do a little bit more still.
Well, as far as Davidson, they hurt their seeding just a little bit. But even if they were to lose their opening game in the quarterfinals, they're not going to be in any serious danger right here. VCU, they better get at least one win. Two wins would be preferable for the Rams.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I can pull up VCU's profile real quick while I also give a shout-out to a few under-the-radar teams here. Long Beach State, outright Big West champions. Princeton, outright Ivy League champions. Alcorn State, outright SWAC champions, a team we didn't discuss much at all this season with the SWAC. Coming on strong late. And North Texas goes to UTEP in the regular season finale where we're all talking up their at-large hopes and they lose in UTEP. Another...
Yeah. Oh, that hurts. Oh, man.
I think they got to win the CUSA tournament.
I think so, too.
Winning
the conference tournament might put them on the bubble or actually inside of it. They might be ahead of the first four, but without it, they're out.
One more final. Just went final. San Diego State almost blew a game in Nevada, which could have hurt, but they just barely pulled out a one-point win as we finish this off here. But let's get to conference tournament play, and let's start with the first automatic bid that was handed out. Congratulations to the Murray State Racers. A hell of a game, Dorman, against Morehead State.
Awesome. This was a fantastic game back and forth. It looked like Murray State had him in the end with a minute, but Morehead State banked in a three to cut the lead. Murray State ended up hitting some key clutch free throws. Morehead State goes to the line late in the game. They need a three-pointer to tie it. There's one free throw left. The shooter purposely misses it. Broom, the Morehead State forward, who was absolutely phenomenal today, was all over the court. As when games get big, this kid is awesome. He did the same thing last year, taking Morehead to the tournament. He was great today. He got an offensive board on the free throw. They called him for a push. I really didn't like the call. Let the kids play. It was not needed. And Morehead did not get the three off that they needed. Murray State, congratulations. First ticket punched, the Racers.
Yes, first ticket punched. There we go. Congratulations to Murray State. Janai Broom, though, was absolutely amazing in this game. Great. It was a career high points for him, too.
Yeah. And again, Morehead hung in there. Like, you kind of thought Murray was going to blow it open. But, you know, for the second game in a row, they really made Morehead or Murray sweat.
It was also worth pointing out that Broom had, 17 points in the second half, and that was on a bad ankle because it looked like he might have had a serious injury at the beginning of the half, but only missed about, it looked like three possessions before they were able to get a stoppage and get him back in the game.
Yeah, but so congrats to Murray. Morehead, if they want it, they probably have a postseason invite ahead of them. I don't know if they'll take one or not. I don't think they're good enough to make the NIT, but... Belmont probably will make the NIT, in my opinion. We'll see. A-Sun, it was semifinal day, and it began with Bellarmine going to Liberty. And how about this Bellarmine team, Stalika? The best team in the city of Louisville is going to have a chance on Tuesday night now to win a tournament postseason tournament championship.
The Knights started this game shutting out Liberty for the first 5 minutes, and then it looked like the Bellarmine itself was going to go into a pretty prolonged drought, so Liberty took control at the end of the first half, but they kept hanging around and actually ended up taking the lead in the final minutes. And congratulations to the Bellarmine Knights, who will be hosting their first ever ASUN championship come Tuesday.
Yep, they will be hosting Jacksonville. Picked up a surprising road win at Jacksonville State, Griggs. And how about this? Jacksonville State loses the semifinal and is not off of our survival board. They're still on it.
Yeah, because if Bellarmine wins, they go.
They were the regular season
champion. What's crazy is that Jacksonville made it to the championship game and could lose, and instead the team that they knocked out of the tournament goes instead. Yeah, crazy situation.
Yeah, every conference gets to choose its own rules if they allow ineligible teams in, and the ASUN's rule is regular season champion gets the bid, which means that's Jacksonville State. So Bellarmine playing not only for themselves, but also for Jack State on Tuesday night. Jacksonville is playing for themselves. Very strange situation, though, with the ASUN title game.
So as it was, Jacksonville State blew their chance to be the first to officially punch their ticket to the NCAA tournaments. Now they got to wait three more days
and hope for Bellarmine. At least the Bellarmine will be the home team of that game, as you mentioned. It was also semifinal day in the Big South Conference, where Dorman, we had a couple of interesting games, and they were both tight. They're both tight throughout the games, actually.
Yes, Upstate stayed right with the Longwood Lancers almost the entire way. Longwood just pulled. The score is not indicative of how tight this game really was.
It was a two-point game. Yeah, Upstate was up pretty big in the first half, actually, before Longwood.
Yes, they were, and Upstate was only down two with a few minutes to go. Longwood hit a few big shots from downtown, and you see Upstate could not connect on their shots, and Longwood advances to the championship. Well, they will play Winthrop. Gardner-Webb was game today. They gave everything they had, just falling short, but Winthrop really looked good today, I thought. They've looked good 2 days in a row now. This is going to be a great battle. I know our cup is on the line here, but this is going to be a fantastic game tomorrow afternoon for ticket number two.
What do you think, Griggs, about, let me put it on the screen here, the Wynwood Cup?
I'm just so excited that it's happening because I'm not so sure it happened the first time since we couldn't see it.
But did you ever imagine the Wynwood Cup would be the Big South Championship game when this was invented like 4 or 5 years ago?
No, I never. And now we have it, and it's going to be awesome.
Who do you got
the winning? The Wynwood Cup.
Who do you got winning?
I really... My heart says Longwood. My head says Winthrop.
Sleek, are you with him? I think I am. I'm exactly with him on this one.
This is going to be the biggest thing to happen in Bojangles Coliseum since it was the old Charlotte Coliseum and hosted the Final Four back in 94. But I'm going to stick with my original pick of Winthrop here.
Yeah, and like, how much are tickets for this going for? You mentioned $80,000 a seat up to it, the Duke North Carolina game today. I would imagine that this is at least
just a little more than the Duke game. Yeah, when the Wynwood Cup's on the line for a bid. Yeah, sounds like 85,000 a ticket tomorrow courtside.
All right, it was semifinal day in the Missouri Valley. Began, Griggs, with a bit of a snoozer. Actually, surprisingly, in this Loyola Northern Iowa, they played great games during the regular season. Loyola just pounded you and I today.
Yeah, and I think it was sort of, if anything, while it's a snoozer, it was worth noting because it was such an impressive performance by Loyola Chicago. I still think they need to win tomorrow. The committee might take them even if they don't, to be honest with you, because when you look at the overall conference record, now that you had the two conference tournament wins, there might be enough there to take them, but the easiest... You know, don't leave it to chance. Win it tomorrow and you're in, regardless of what happens.
I agree. And their opponent is going to be Drake. Drake with an overtime win over Missouri State. Dorman, I was very impressed without DJ Wilkins in this tournament that Drake has picked up these two wins. Tucker DeVries got the two free throws at the end there to get this win for him.
Yes, I thought the Wilkinson injury was going to show its head today, but it didn't. They really played really well. Missouri State was there too. This was a fantastic game right down to the buzzer. Drake Coach's son hits two free throws to seal the victory for the Drake Bulldogs. And they will see the Ramblers tomorrow in the championship. But I think the injury really shows a lot tomorrow. I love the guard play from the Loyola Ramblers. Williamson and Brandon Norris will be all that and then some for the Drake Bulldog defense. And in March, guard play comes through. Williamson is a senior. I expect him to pull through. Loyola Ramblers will punch their ticket tomorrow.
And all those bubble teams will be rooting. Yeah, all those bubble teams will be rooting for Loyola also. Go ahead with your stats, Salika.
Yeah, let's go back to the Northern Iowa-Loyola-Chicago game for a moment. Northern Iowa hits a three-pointer at the 15-13 mark to cut what had been a 16-point lead in half. They would not hit another field goal the rest of the way. They missed their final 16 shots of the game and get only 10 points via free throws the rest of the way.
Wow. All right. Are you going to go with Loyola tomorrow also, Stalika?
Again, I'm going with my original pick. Love the Drake.
Oh, you did go Drake.
No. So
I'm still sticking with my original pick of Bradley. I think they may be able to pull this one out.
They have a shot.
It was semifinal day in the Northeast Conference.
Yes.
Even though Wagner really rolled Long Island, Griggs, how about this Bryant Mount St. Mary's unbelievable game in an unbelievable atmosphere that shows why you should be on campus sites?
Yeah, and I got it backwards. I thought Wagner would sweat the Sharks, but it turns out Bryant sweated Mount St. Mary's. And well, you're going to get you want another unbelievable atmosphere, the championship game. It's just going to be off the hook. But yeah, like, is there a conference tournament more fun than this one? There is. I mean, there's some great ones. Don't get me wrong, but this one is just incredible.
I'll tell you, that four overtime game today was great. The overseas championship game today was great. This Bryant Mount St. Mary's game today may have been the best, really may have been the best game of the day. A foul on Charlie Pride with 0.8 of a second left. He hits one of two free throws to get them the win. Dorman, you had thoughts on this game as well?
Mount St. Mary's had every opportunity to win this game. They were up 7 with 5 minutes to go, and that lead went away very quickly. Bryant got hot from long range. Mount St. Mary's could not convert, and the building, like David said, was absolutely on fire. This atmosphere was awesome, and that's why I love these conference tournaments. If the building's not going to be packed at a neutral site, play on campus, watch these games. You cannot argue that point.
And it, in my opinion, it adds a lot of excitement to the regular season. How much fun was that last regular season game between Bryant and Wagner?
And we'll see if Bryant wins this because of the home court advantage.
Yeah.
That was that game that got them there.
Two
of the best, some of the best players in the conference here as well, with Morales, Wagner, and Pride, and Kiss for Bryant. It should be a great game Tuesday night. We'll talk about it Monday night when we preview it. But the SoCon, it was quarterfinal day. And I guess we should go through each of these pretty quick. Go each three of these here. First of all, Stalika. Citadel gave Chattanooga a bit of a game before Nuga pulled it out at really kind of late there before they pulled it out.
This was not terribly surprising. Chattanooga, I think, had ended the season with a little bit of rust right here, and Citadel was coming off of a decent win themselves against East Tennessee State. Not quite enough in the tank to overcome the mocks for the opener here.
Yeah, and the second game then, Wofford over VMI. VMI gave Wofford everything they could. They had fallen apart late in the season when Jake Stevens, their best scorer, missed 4 or 5 games late. He was back for this game. The only thing I didn't understand was VMI had a shot to tie it or win it at the end of the game there, Griggs, and they didn't get the ball to Stevens. And the kid that did get the ball, you know, took the shot too late. The clock ran out before he even got the shot off. Disappointing last
season. Yeah, not a well-executed play. VMI hard to play against. They're not the best team, but like we've heard testimony from our good friend Rocco, a lot of people around the SoCon just don't like playing against them because they're so annoying. And how much fun. Nothing against Chattanooga and Wofford, and I think it's good for the conference that Chattanooga is still alive. But how much fun would a Citadel VMI semifinal had been?
That would have been great. Dorming the bottom half of the bracket here, Furman kind of rolled Mercer, but Samford was up big on Greensboro most of the game, and Greensboro found a way to get back and actually had a three at the buzzer that would have won the game, but it missed.
Barely missed. It was a great finish, and I agree with you, Chad. I thought Greensboro was done and buried with about 10 minutes to go. They were down 12 and not looking good. And like you said, these teams are so desperate. They know what's on the line, and they just give it everything they've got. Greensboro did that. Like you said, they had a shot at the buzzer to win, and it was not to be.
Tell you, we're not seeing that many upsets, it feels like, this year in terms of seeds in any of these conference tournaments, but I think it also gives us better games. Look at the fact that we have the top four seeds advancing tomorrow to the semifinals. Salika, what do you think about these two games? Do you think we'll get the Chattanooga Furman championship game on Monday?
I think Furman is probably going to advance. I think Wofford might actually be able to upset the Mocs, but I think it's probably going to be another chalky Sunday right here.
Chalky Sunday. Greg, you with him, chalky Sunday?
Yeah, I am. Furman and Nuga.
It was quarterfinal day also in the Sun Belt, which began with our first automatic bid to the NIT. We ended up giving out two of them because Northern Iowa got one as well. We mentioned them earlier. But how about those raging Cajuns, Dorman? They just dominated Texas State the entire game.
They got out early, and they did not look back. Troy tried to make Texas State, the top seed in the tournament, tried to make a run in the second half. Lafayette was not having it, and they cruised the entire way. The raging Cajuns look good, and this will be a wonderful semifinal with Troy tomorrow night in Pensacola.
And if I'm not mistaken, this is the second year in a row that Texas State has actually had the top seed in the Sun Belt and doesn't even get a single win in Pensacola.
Yeah, they don't like going to Pensacola for some reason. Griggs, Troy held off Little Rock, who gave everything that they had today.
We were very close to an 8-12 semifinal game. Like, Little Rock, all the way down to the last couple of possessions, was in a position to win it or tie it. So Troy did kind of escape.
Georgia State also just barely held off Arkansas State in the tonight, and Appalachian State didn't have as much trouble with Georgia Southern. Sets up three out of the top four seeds. Dorman, what are you looking forward to in tomorrow's semifinals?
I am going to go with Troy and App State. I really thought App State played well today. They were not going to mess around and let Georgia Southern in. So I look for a final Monday night of Troy and App State.
I kind of look for the exact opposite. I'm actually picking. I'm going with those raging Cajuns. Why not? Let's keep them rolling.
You kind of wish they would reseed a conference tournament like this, though, but this is not the Horizon or the old NEC for that matter.
Yes, I think it's a little bit more. Go ahead, Briggs.
I was going to say, more and more conferences are going to that. Like, if you, at least under the radar conferences, if you think about it, this is one. There's fewer and fewer just straight-seeded, straight-up brackets like this one.
You see a lot more ladders, at least, a few with the reseeding.
Yeah.
We tend to see the reseeding in the campus site events more because if you reseed in an event that's played on four consecutive days, you run the chance of a team having to play the night game followed by the early morning game the next day. I don't think they want to do that. It was the beginning of quarterfinal day in the Summit League, where if you look at the final score there, exactly what happened should have happened. South Dakota State and North Dakota State won a pair of blowouts. That's not what happened, though, Sleek, on the court. We had halftime in both these games. We had major upsets brewing.
And keep in mind, Denver was actually our centenary winner last year, and they were right in it with the Bison and the nightcap, but unfortunately North Dakota State ended up pulling away in that one.
But Omaha was right there with the Jackrabbits until early in the second half, too.
I'll say this about the Summit League. Year after year after year, seemingly, it is the most entertaining 1v8 game of any conference tournament. on a consistent basis.
We did not think it would happen this year with the way the Jackrabbits were rolling, but it really did. We have the other two quarterfinals coming up tomorrow, Kansas City, South Dakota, or Roberts, Western Illinois. I really think that you know, Western Illinois was a team that got off to a great start at the beginning of the season. Oral Roberts, we all know what they did last year. Dorman, what do you think? Wait for a couple of good games tomorrow?
I think we are. I was chirping about Western Illinois getting their first bid back in December, January timing. And since then, they went ice cold in the Summit. And for their achievements, they now sit in the sixth hole, the sixth seed. They'll play Oral Roberts tomorrow. But I think they can win this game. They have the talent, the same amount of talent, if not more, than Oral Roberts. If Western Illinois comes out strong, they have senior guards. I like them. I think they can pull this upset over Oral Roberts. And the other quarter tomorrow night, the Ruse, one of my favorite coaches in America, Billy Donlin, will take his Kansas City Ruse and play South Dakota. The game is in South Dakota. They'll have the fans against them, but look for Kansas City to pull this one out.
It was first round day in the Colonial today, and we had our John Tytel on location there. You check out the website. You can read his whole write-up about the game there for the 8-9 game. Bad basketball at its best, Greg's 18-17 halftime score. Yes. Northeastern leading. I mean, it actually got a little better in the second half, and it went into overtime.
Yes. Flo Hoops bringing us all of the action. It wasn't just bad basketball. It was bad basketball on Flo Hoops.
But congrats to Northeastern. They keep their season alive. Also, I would note here with William & Mary's loss, the Citadel's loss as well, the four teams that have been members of Division I since its inception and have never made the NCAA tournament, none of them will make it this year. That's Citadel, William & Mary, St. Francis, Brooklyn, and Army. Again, all out this year.
Well, VMI too.
Now, VMI has made an NCAA tournament before.
Oh, they have? Okay.
Yes, they have. One, but they have made an NCAA tournament. It is quarterfinal round day tomorrow, though. Stilico, what do we see here? We got Towson Northeastern, Drexel Delaware, Wilmington Elon, Hofstra Charleston. You see any seeding upsets?
Well, there's always going to be Northeastern and Towson being a possibility, just with a Northeastern surviving and Towson. You never know what to expect from a team that, while they've done very well this year, historically, this has not been a tournament where they've had a lot of success right here. But I still think Hofstra is another team that could end up being a noisemaker and actually end up winning the whole thing.
Probably pick.
Okay. How about this Delaware-Drexel game tomorrow, Dorman? This is a fun rivalry over the years as well.
Yeah, to me, that's the tightest game of the four tomorrow, the one I'm looking most forward to. It probably is going to be tight the whole way. We got the four and the five seed going at it. Should be very interesting. I do look for the winner to get Townsend. I agree with everything Stalika said, but this Townsend team is talented this year, playing real well, confident. I think they're going to take care of Northeastern this and find the semis finally.
One of the conferences that was in action tonight, West Coast Conference, BYU, San Francisco. This was a game both teams needed, BYU more so, and Dorman, BYU really just didn't have enough here. They just did not look like a tournament team, honestly.
They didn't. The game was very choppy. I thought the refs, I hate saying this, I thought the refs were really bad for both teams. That's not why BYU lost. BYU had no rhythm, like you said. They just didn't look good. Sloppy on offense. Defensively, they dropped some assignments, gave some easy looks, and San Francisco moves on. BYU just doesn't have enough. Their season is done, so the resume is complete, and now Big Thieves are about to pass them, and not all the teams around them on the bubble will get hot in the big boy in the power conferences next week, but a few will at least. And I think BYU is done. For those of you worried about San Francisco saying they needed this one, I did not. I think they were safely in, but the arguments are over. San Francisco is in the tournament. They deserve it.
Right.
Funny you mentioned the referees in that game, Dorman. One of them, Tommy Nunez, was actually the ref that got tripped by Jamal Reed a few years back.
Yeah, Griggs, there's those two profiles. I mean, San Francisco's just looks so much better, other than the fact that BYU won at San Fran, but San Fran won 2 out of 3 against BYU. So
yeah, they did. They returned the favor, and you go down like UAB neutral, pretty good. Home win against. There's a lot of decency there, and there's only one loss out of all of them that really smells bad. Grand Canyon isn't. I don't like the term good loss. It isn't something that you would just dismiss, but it isn't an anchor either. The game against Grand Canyon,
Griggs. Just tipped about 30 seconds ago was Santa Clara and Portland. Since everyone's going to watch this after the game was final, why don't you tell us what happened in the game?
Santa Clara won.
Okay. We'll talk about that tomorrow night when we preview the Monday night's games. But obviously we are cheating a little bit. We don't know who won that Santa Clara Portland game. It's just started right now, and we're not going to wait for that up that late. That was it for today's action. There are two other conferences that are in action tomorrow. First of all, we are returning to the Patriot League. It is semifinal day. Lehigh at Colgate, BU at Navy. Salika, do you think that this is just a day where we got to get through until we get to that Colgate-Navy championship game, or do you see an upset coming?
I see it being a formality for Colgate right here, but you never know what you're going to get whenever this Navy team is going to be taking the floor. They'll probably get out to a decent size lead, but will they hold the lead?
Yeah.
Always a question when it comes down to this Navy team. But the other conference that is in action tomorrow is the first time we've taken a look at this bracket. It is quarterfinal round day in the America East on campus sites here. NJIT is at Vermont. Albany is at Hartford. Lowell is at UMBC, and Binghamton's at New Hampshire. Dorman, let me start with you. Do you see any upsets in terms of the seeds tomorrow?
Vermont is going to win. That will not be an upset. Hartford, Albany. I think Albany's actually a little better. So if that's an upset because that's the 5 over the 4, I'll go with Albany. I like this UMBC team. I haven't seen much from UMass Lowell lately and didn't finish the season exactly hot. And I do like New Hampshire. So the only upset I see is Albany over Hartford. The rest, I think, will stay for him.
Well, Lowell did beat Hartford on the last day of the regular season. So
one
win there at the end. Since this is the first time we looked at the America East, this may be very quick here, but who do we think is going to win the conference tournament? I'm going to take Vermont. Griggs?
If you gave me Vermont against the entire field, I would take Vermont 9 times out of 10.
Who would you take the 10th time?
The field.
Okay. Salika, Vermont.
I would have liked Stony. Oh, wait, they're not playing. So I guess we're going to have to go for Vermont here.
Vermont. Great. Dorman, you go Vermont also.
Yep. Catamounts. They are the class of this conference.
That's it for tomorrow's conference tournament games. There are some regular season games in the American and the Big Ten. We'll get their tournament brackets up, but let's go to our survival board.
Woo-hoo!
This is our NCAA tournament survival board. The link is right up there. This is as it was as of the end of the games yesterday. And this is a tool for the committee, right, Griggs?
Yes, it's a tool for the committee. It lets them know who to select, who to evaluate, and then who to ignore.
So if you're a lock and you're in blue, like Houston, what does that mean?
Oh, it means you're in. It means the committee looks at that and realizes they need to select them.
Okay, so if a committee member comes here and thinks about selecting an at-large bid for Richmond, who's in regular type, what would that mean?
Oh, no, they can't do that.
Okay. What if a committee member came here and they were thinking about looking at Campbell, who's in red?
No, you absolutely can't do that.
What if they think about taking Xavier?
They can if they want to.
Okay.
You know, they need to look at it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why you'd be building from the bottom up, but that's their choice.
Or you go to the Pac-12 where you like Arizona, UCLA, or USC Carver Bible? Bible?
They merged.
USC and Carver Bible. The University of Southern Carver Bible. All right.
The two campuses have merged.
Apparently.
Are you sure this isn't the United States Carver Bible?
I don't. We got this bug here.
Enrollment has gone up by 0.01%, and Carver Bible's enrollment has gone up by 1,000,000%.
We definitely got to get this Carver Bible thing to stop showing up on the survival board here. Anyhow, heading into the day, it was 276. As a result of today's action, as well as the final regular season eliminations in the SWAC, we ended up with 255 teams left.
Busy day. Wow.
Busy day. And it will be down to 254 after this late West Coast Conference game goes final. So as of tomorrow night when we start the show, we'll be at 254 teams left. How about a rivalry creator?
Okay, yeah, let's create some rivalries.
This is something we wanted to do for people here that may have teams that they think should be rivals, but they're not. But it applies to anything. So, for example, Sleeka, you're a Xavier fan here. So, you know, Xavier and Cincinnati, that's a real rivalry, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Let's see what it says here. That's the Crosstown Shootout.
Crosstown Shootout. Okay, so it knows that it didn't need to generate that rivalry, but it just kind of did.
Yeah, and it knows that those teams are 8 miles apart and
never met in the NCAA tournament. Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, Xavier does have other rivals, Sleeka, do they not?
Yeah, they have a rivalry that ESPN created for them several years ago.
Yeah. Now, had they used the rivalry creator, it would have been a real rival.
Well, you know, ESPN made this big deal during rivalry week that Xavier and Georgia were rivalries. So we figure it needed a name. So Xavier and Georgia is now the Musky Dog every week special.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
I don't know what kind of breeding took place to create that kind of dog, but I'm sure it must be going for probably more than the Duke Carolina tickets.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what also. We saw today, we saw a game, and we actually got a special request for this on Twitter. We saw the Jacksonville-Jacksonville State, that game as well today, correct?
Yeah.
And we know it's an in-town rivalry, but is there a name for
that? In-town rivalry. Big deal.
This is a big deal. So what is the actual name for the rivalry between Jacksonville and Jacksonville State? I'm very
much looking forward to this.
Of course. this is actually the real Crosstown Show.
Like, wow.
Okay. Not quite the River City rivalry that Jacksonville and North Florida have, but
yeah,
the real Crosstown Shootout. Let's just double check their details here. Let's find out about them a little more.
Yeah, so they're
8 miles apart. I've never met the answer.
Yeah, that's. Huh. Are we sure that thing's working right?
That's what it says. They're the same city. Yeah. They got to be 8 miles apart.
Now this is what I should say for the puppet. This is the Crosstown Shootout that would be sponsored by Gold Star Chili.
Let's go to final thoughts. Sleeka, you want to start us off?
We've had some pretty unique courts showing up today as far as a championship week. This is the second year, for example, that the West Coast Conference has had kind of a darkish looking court in the middle, as well as a little bit lighter inside the arc. But if you happen to see the women's A-10 tournament that was actually being played down the road from Chad in Wilmington, Delaware, it felt like it was in a greenhouse because it was so bright in Wilmington this morning. I thought the players and coaches were going to need sunglasses at one point because it was pretty bright. So I have to give the players extra credits for being able to shoot in a background like that. In fact, I think that's the G League home for the 76ers affiliate.
If that is, that was actually the building I was at when I saw when I went to a Delaware State game a few years ago. But I don't remember it looking like that then. Could be something different for this game.
Thought you were going to tell us when you saw Steve Winwood there in '84.
Oh, I don't know. Dorman, any final thoughts from you?
I wanted to mention one young man player today on the San Francisco Dons. I hope I don't botch his name here. Juhan Masalski. His family is in the Ukraine. His dad is a Ukrainian government official. how he can even concentrate and focus on basketball. He actually had 8 points and 9 rebounds and did all the little things that probably aren't going to be in the stat sheet, but made some big he's a big kid down low, and he forced a lot of turnovers, and a lot of bad shots went up by BYU, and he hung tough in the middle. And with all going on, he has an 11-year-old sister who's stuck in Ukraine. They're trying to get her out to safety. They haven't yet. But with all that's going on in this young man's mind, to be able to play in San Francisco, let's be honest, probably their biggest game in 20, 30 years, and get them through to a victory, I give this kid a lot of credit. And I don't root for teams, but I do root for players.
Yes, great, great, great thing to root for here.
Wow.
I just want to go back real quick to what Salik was talking about with court logos, because I gotta show this again. This was from last year.
Is this the SWAC?
This is what the SWAC did last year. Talk about logos. This was one of the all-time greats. And unfortunately, I got a little bit of bad news. This is their new logo for this year. They got rid of it.
Much better.
We like the
giant one. I'm gonna miss the wrestling mat that was at center court, though. We'll give them that.
Just like, yeah, I just remember tweeting, I wonder what tournament this is. I wish they'd put it on the screen.
Griggs, you want to finish the show off?
Just to kind of like, I don't know. I guess I'll just echo David's final thought. Okay. That was a good one to end with.
All right. Then on that note, I do want to take the chance to thank everybody for joining us. We will be back tomorrow night with another video notebook whenever all the games end. And tomorrow night, I think we'll actually wait for all the games to end. But on behalf of John Salika, David Dorman over there, David Griggs down here, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again tomorrow night.